Welcome to the America Pray Now podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. Today's episode features an interview with Pastor Bob Fox from a recent Virginia Pray Now meeting. Virginia Pray Now is a prayer initiative of America Pray Now that is focused on cities and topics in Virginia. But our conversation with Pastor Bob speaks to every believer wherever you are. So we're glad you're here. Pastor Bob Fox is a former Marine F-4 pilot and Navy chaplain. He holds a Master of Divinity from Fuller Seminary. Pastor Bob is based in Hampton Roads, Virginia, where he works to equip and connect Christian leaders both locally and around the globe. Interviewing Pastor Bob is Ken Miller, a West Point graduate with a distinguished career and the Assistant Director of America Pray Now. We'll join their interview now.
Good evening. My name is Ken Miller, and I want to welcome everyone on our monthly prayer call. Welcome to Virginia Pray Now. We gather each month on this call to pray for the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I might add that this is Thursday evening, and if you've been a regular with us, you know that we have traditionally met the third Wednesday of the month at noon. But we've shifted to Thursday evening in hopes of making it a little more convenient for those who want to join us. So thank you to all who are on the call. We're delighted you've joined us. And tonight we're going to be praying for the city of Virginia Beach. And that's a very important area in the Commonwealth of Virginia, as we'll soon learn from our guest, Pastor Bob Fox. The purpose of Virginia Pray Now is to promote prayer in the body of Christ, and it's specifically focused on prayer for Virginia. And we believe we're responding to God's call to pray each month for Virginia and for America. Mm-hmm. And Virginia Pray Now is a prayer initiative of America Pray Now. America Pray Now was established in 2013, 13 years ago, roughly. And it was just a small group, but we've since grown to have meetings throughout the month, every month, throughout Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, North and South Carolina, and of course, online. And so here we are tonight. Would you bow your hearts before we go any further? Let's bow our hearts together and agree together in prayer for tonight's meeting. Father, there's no one like you. You keep your covenant and show unfailing love to those who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. And tonight, as we pray, I pray that you would fill us with your spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Your word says, of the greatness of your government and of your peace, there will be no end. That's your promise. That's your vision. Even the highest heavens cannot contain you, Lord. Nevertheless, listen to our prayer tonight and hear the humble and earnest requests we make. Hear us, and when you hear, forgive our sin and deliver us from evil and direct us into the paths of righteousness for the sake of your name and of your purpose, not only in each of our individual lives, but in the church and in America. You said, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. Lord, it's on that basis that we make our appeal tonight to the very God of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, as I mentioned at the outset, we're going to be praying for the city of Virginia Beach. And Virginia Beach has a very long history. It goes back to the very founding of America and the very founding of Virginia, with the landing at Cape Henry in the vicinity of Virginia Beach in 1607. And so we are in a long line of believers who've been praying. And at some point, God's saying, I'm going to pour out of heaven, out of the bowls of prayer that have been raised up to God. So we stand on the shoulders of giants. Many people, we don't know who they were or who they are, But we link our hearts with their prayers, and we pray that God's will be done. And so tonight, we're delighted to have with us a dear friend of the ministry of America Pray Now and Virginia Pray Now, Pastor Bob Fox. Bob, welcome to our prayer tonight. I just want to give you a moment to say hello to our guests, and then we can have a conversation.
All right. Well, thank you, Ken, and thank you, Hannah, for inviting me. It's a real honor and privilege, and I feel a holy responsibility to pray for the city in which I live, Virginia Beach, which, as Ken mentioned, is just close to the Jamestown Colony in Jamestown, just 45 minutes away. That was the birthplace of America. All the good stuff in America began there, and most of the bad stuff began there. And I've been trying to, for the past 34 years, figure out why bad stuff continues in our region. And I've written a couple of books about it. It's been a big burden to see our community healed. And prayer is, of course, it's the alpha and the omega. It begins and ends with prayer. It's got to have prayer. So I'm really happy to be here, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you, Bob. And we are very interested to hear what God has shown you and how to pray, what to pray for, and all of that. You know, as you alluded to just in your introductory remarks, it reminds me that every city, every town that we pray for on a regular basis, every city, though, has fractures or fault lines. If we just paused, and you could say that about every family, right? But we're speaking now of the city of Virginia Beach, and every city has fractures or fault lines, places where sin, spiritual darkness, human brokenness has created a pressure point that, like a cancer that breaks out. These are problems, but more than that, the fault lines, the pressure points, are indicators of God's calling and purpose. They show where God wants to heal and redeem and advance His kingdom. Can you sort of elaborate on that theme and illuminate for us some of the things that, when you survey the landscape of Virginia Beach, where does God draw your attention?
Well, He always draws it to the church and to pastors in particular. I was a pastor for 35 years. I love pastors. I've, for the past 30-some years, I've been trying to minister to them in various ways here in the Hampton Roads area. And so I see them as key players, maybe the key player in whatever God wants to do in our region, and in any region, any city. Pastors guide the flock, and whatever happens on Sunday morning becomes important. God speaks to through the pastors and through, of course, the elders and deacons, but he's given the pastor a pulpit, literally, to be able to speak forth the heart of God and the purposes of God for that congregation and for their city. So I believe that over the past 20 or so years, things have shifted in the church. We used to be much more engaged with the community. We used to have prayer meetings, weekly prayer meetings, in almost every evangelical church, at least in our area. It would be hard to find an evangelical church 25 years ago that did not have a weekly prayer meeting. Now it's hard to find any evangelical churches that have a weekly corporate prayer meeting in their church. That's a huge, I mean, and that's probably a change from the past 400 years or so in our country. Prayer in the churches has been a staple of God's working in the church and Him mobilizing His people to reach out to the poor, to the hurting, to the unsaved, and to missions around the world and stuff. Now it's a huge indicator the church is not healthy. That something has happened, and the church is handicapped really in that area. And the other thing is evangelism. 25 years ago, lots of churches had regular evangelism teams going out. I've been a member of those churches. Now, today, very few churches do regular evangelism or even connect with the church in sort of a food, clothing, and shelter way. It's a rare church. So that says to me as a pastor that, yes, we have good people and good churches are having wonderful services. They're ministering to their people in their church really well. But it's also in focus that we've disconnected from the community in prayer and in action. And in that spiritual vacuum, as you say, the fault lines can grow bigger. The enemy has more opportunity because the Spirit of God is not connecting with the community through prayer and action through the churches. So again, I love the churches, I love pastors, but I've got to call it as I see it. You know, you can't fix it if you don't know it's broke. And I've been seeing this for a long time, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I didn't do it perfect as a pastor, but I've got a calling to the city church. I've had a local church calling and a city church calling, and so I have spent literally thousands of hours trying to figure out how to bring holiness and healthiness to the Church of Hampton Roads, because as the birthplace of America, I believe if God could fix us, if God could revive us, if God could heal us and bring us to a place of deeper repentance and holiness and prayer and unity, it would somehow impact the rest of the nation, because we're the root of America, and the rest of America is the fruit of the root. Spiritually speaking, we have that sort of foundational influence on America. So as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about it. It's not a casual thing with me. And so when I say critical things to the church, I'm not wagging my finger. I'm saying, hey, this is really important. And we need to get back on track, because God is depending upon us for our region and for the nation to really get back into prayer and to holiness and unity. I mean, that's what the Bible says.
Amen. Amen. In your city, just within the last month and a half, there have been reported outbreaks of violence along the ocean front, as I recall. Help us understand how that's a signal. That's, you know, there's noise and then there's signal. That's an invitation. Don't you agree?
It's an invitation, and it's a warning. Young people are kind of the canary in the coal mine for a lot of things. When you know, all the problems that young people have been having over the past 10 years, let's say, with depression and suicides and drug abuse and now gang violence and stuff like that, it's a sign that society is not healthy. And they're some of the first people to kind of show it, demonstrate that. Shootings at the oceanfront have been very rare in the past, in my experience in 40 years here. And now all of a sudden we've had two of them within two weekends, where multiple people were shot on both weekends. And now the city has instituted a 7 p.m. curfew. It's 9 p.m. to like 10 o'clock or 7 o'clock the next morning for everybody. So from 9 p.m. on the oceanfront, every child and adult has to clear out and go home. That's unprecedented in the history of this city, and probably in any city in the United States.
Yeah.
And you can imagine what the business owners are saying to that. They're going, ah, all those customers. So it's a very serious issue, and it's a wake-up call that God wants the church to address that, because Jesus came for the sick. He didn't come for the well. He came for the hurting, the vulnerable. This is a great opportunity to address that.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, and the businesses that, I mean, Virginia Beach, in addition to being the home, a naval hub, it really, it's a resort location. It's tourism is a big industry, and when you shut down nightlife, it makes it difficult to attract tourists, it would seem to me, particularly during the summer.
The reputation. Virginia Beach is listed as one of the safest cities in the United States. And I can tell you, I know some of the people in the government, they work very hard to keep that reputation safe. So for them to do this, it's catastrophic, really. I mean, this news is going to go all over the place, and people are going to say, oh my gosh, is it safe to go to Virginia Beach? And that, so it is at the city level and at the spiritual level, this is a huge, this is a very critical time.
Has the mayor or members of the local civil leaders met with the churches? Has there been any dialogue? I would hope, I'm praying.
Not yet. But okay. I just texted the mayor. He lives not far from me, and I know him as a friend. An idea that I would like to suggest, share, and also this is something could be done in any city. and probably should be done, is for the mayor to call all the houses of worship, so it's non-denominational, to a day of prayer and fasting for safety at the ocean front. Just call one day. They can be a Sunday or some other day. And I'll bet you, because the mayor calls it, a bunch of churches and synagogues would respond to that. It's unfortunate that there's no Christian leader in our area who would have as much authority or respect to call churches to prayer and fasting, but the mayor could. And Abraham Lincoln did it during the Civil War. King George did it during the Dunkirk crisis in World War II, when they had 300,000 of their troops stranded on the French coast, and they were rescued in a miraculous way as a result of that day in prayer and fasting. And Governor Pillsbury in 1870 something in Minnesota, they had a locust plague every year. Locusts were eating all the crops. It wasn't until the governor called a day of prayer and fasting, the locusts got up and left and never came back. What a coincidence.
Wow.
I'm thinking, why don't mayors come up with a half a dozen key issues in the city and just say to the people, okay, every other month, have a day of prayer and fasting, and you pray for this issue, and then this issue, and this issue, and let's see what God will do. Why not?
Right. That raises a question in my mind, and let me put it to you, Pastor Bob. How do you motivate not only pastors, but parishioners, congregants, church members, believers? How do you motivate people to pray? How do you help them to see that their prayers really make a difference? Let me put it that way.
Well, you have to lead by example. If the pastor doesn't pray, the people probably aren't going to pray.
Amen.
And they have to talk about it on Sunday morning. Sunday morning determines what is important in a church. And so if the pastor's not calling him on Sunday morning to corporate prayer about specific issues and saying that we could make a difference, good grief, that we could make a difference, it's probably not going to happen. It's good to remind them that the two great commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor, right? It's a two-winged bird. Love God, love your neighbor. So we love God pretty well in our churches. There's great worship and all that, but we're not loving our neighbor. And so Jesus came to show us how to love our neighbor, to reach him with the gospel. He went for the sick people, the wounded people, the vulnerable people. Churches today need to remind, we need to, pastors remind the people, wounded and vulnerable people are the focus of Jesus. And the least we can do is pray for them. Let's pray for the homeless. Let's pray for the people struggling with same-sex attraction, with the trans attraction, with the let's pray for the Muslims in our community who are desperate for love. There's no love in Islam. Those kind of things. Of course, there's scriptures like Jeremiah 29:7, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare. For in its welfare, you will find welfare. So you'll get blessed as you pray for the city. It's kind of a benefit to that. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit has got to move on the people. The pastor has to model it. And the people have to pray, say, Lord, break our heart for what breaks your heart. Lord, what's on your heart for this city? And Lord, give us your grace to focus our prayers on a regular basis with some sort of structure to pray for that. And I would say just take one topic at least. No, don't try to, do the shotgun thing, because then it's hard to know if your prayers are being answered. Take one topic and pray on that for several months as a church and see what God does. I think that would help.
That's a great idea. And let me endorse it. One of the things we'll issue a call at the end of our time together this evening to pray for Virginia Beach for the next 30 days until our
Okay,
next meeting.
that would be great.
And we're going to enlist everyone on this call to add it to their calendar to find a moment to pray. Even a minute of prayer is better than no prayer. And to pray for Virginia Beach and Pastor Bob, perhaps as you point out, we need to identify the target, because if we don't aim at it, we're not
Right.
going to be
You'll
confident
never
that
know if you
we
hit
hit
it.
anything, right?
Right.
So we want something that's measurable and something that is tangible, something that we can say prayer made a difference.
Correct.
And you're sure the people will come up with all kinds of reasons that something happens. But even Washington, when he had to flee, New York City with the advance of the British,
right.
He gave credit to God for the fog that moved in and it gave him cover.
Exactly.
That was an answer to prayer.
Exactly.
it's built into our DNA as Americans to trust the Lord in times of desperate need. And it sounds like Virginia Beach has a desperate need. And so, again, I'm just saying that everyone on this call, I don't know where they're located, across the state of Virginia and perhaps even beyond, please, let's link our hearts and our minds with the people of Virginia Beach and with Pastor Bob to pray for Virginia Beach every day for the next 30 days. You know, we've been praying for, we began the year 2026, we began in January praying for Lynchburg, then we moved to Charlottesville, and then we moved on to Fredericksburg, and now, of course, we're at Virginia Beach. So we're making our rounds, if you will. But I think that's God's, there's a strategy in all of this. We're praying where people gather, and we're praying where people and churches and leaders, they have businesses, they have families, they have schools, there are courts, and there are, it's the place of business. It's where families grow, and we want peace for our city, as you mentioned. And I think it's from Jeremiah, and I wrote it down, Jeremiah 29, verse 7.
Right.
You said, work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare.
Right.
There's no escapism. You know, we're not like going to sit on a mountaintop and wait for the rapture. We are here, and we are committed to praying for our city. And in this case, for your city, we're going to backstop you. And prayerfully, the mayor will get the message, and we'll see the opportunity. I mean, with every with the outbreak of violence, there is an opportunity. If we're honest with ourselves, it really is an opportunity.
It is.
And that's, let's just see it for what it is. So there you go. I had a bunch of questions for you, but I, among all the leaders that I just rattled off, I mentioned, you mentioned the mayor, but there are other leaders in your city. There are judges, there are teachers, there's principals of local
right.
schools,
right.
there's school board, business owners.
Mm-hmm.
What's your prayer strategy? What's your advice and your encouragement to us who are going to pray, how to pray for leaders in your city?
Again, I would pray for the pastors.
Primarily the pastors.
The government can do some things, but if pastors are motivated by God to lead their people into prayer, it will mobilize tens of thousands of people to pray for something. And as I mentioned, and they're the God's only solution to the problems of America. The church is the only solution to the problems of America. There is no technological money or educational solution to the brokenness of America. So I would say, pray for these good men and women who are laying down their lives for the gospel, that God will awaken in them and give them a burden for prayer. Happens just before a revival. People hit their knees just before a revival. We need God to somehow do that in pastors, and then they will awaken their churches. It doesn't happen without pastoral leadership saying, folks, it would come to the place where if we don't pray, we're not going to do very well. And this is a key moment. As you said, the city's reputation is on the line. People's safety is on the line. The government is they're very concerned about this. This would be a great time. And also to connect with the government somehow and say, how can we help you during this time? What can
Amen.
We do? You know?
Amen. We're going to go to prayer here in a minute or two, Pastor Bob. But as we do that, I want to ask you, what's the vision you carry? in your heart for
Well,
what
it's
God could do if the body of Christ in Virginia Beach and throughout Virginia were to pray over the next 30 days.
That God would awaken them to, would call them back to a life of prayer and holiness. The church is unfortunately caught up in the things of the world, including sexual sin, a lot of pornography, a lot of lust issues that aren't really being addressed directly. I think if the church would begin to pray, the Holy Spirit would begin to convict them of sin, private sin, a personal sin, and then we could begin to also deal with the sins of our region that have been committed in the past against blacks, against Native Americans, against women, foundational sins that began in the Jamestown colony. That's why I wrote this whole book about the sins that those sins have been replicated down through the generations. In Leviticus 26, 39 to 42, it says, if you confess your sins, God promises, if you confess your sins and the sins of your forefathers, I will remember the land. And that's the whole purpose of that book I wrote, Healing America's Soul, is to get people to confess both personal and corporate sin, to include the ancestral sins. And here in Hampton Roads, this is where it began. America yeah. began here. We, I think, have a greater opportunity and responsibility to do that. And so, yes, prayer, and then God convicts, and then we move on to the not only the personal stuff, but the corporate stuff. And I think that God would move upon America if our region and other regions did that.
Thank you for listening to the America Pray Now podcast. If you would like to hear the interview with Pastor Bob Fox in its entirety, you can do so by going to AmericaPrayNow.com and select Virginia Pray Now, where you can see the entire interview as well as past interviews with other Virginia pastors and leaders. Our Virginia Pray Now meeting is the third Thursday every month at 7 p.m., as well as having a weekly podcast. America Pray Now meets in 17 cities every month to pray in person. Most of our prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also have meetings in West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, North Carolina, and South Carolina. See AmericaPrayNow.com for dates and times. Thank you for joining us this week, and we hope you join us next week for our America Pray Now podcast. Until then, may God bless you.